For some people, as we know, the academic year is just around the corner. We'll have a lot about that in the second hour. We'll be talking shortly to career expert Brian Mooney. But for a majority of students in Dublin and Galway especially, they're still finding it very difficult to find somewhere to live as the housing and accommodation crisis continues. 2 weeks ago, Jackie Fox spoke to Keelan Shanley about the pressure students are under while trying to find accommodation. Jackie is back in studio with an update. Well, Jackie, what's been happening?
Good morning, Sean. Well, over the last 2 weeks, we've had the Leaving Cert results, the CAO offers. So now we find that first years are in the race as well for accommodation. There's that rush for accommodation. And we've only 2 to 3 weeks left before orientation week and semester one starts as well. So, you know, we have the research to prove that there is that shortage of accommodation in Ireland. Daft.ie had that report yesterday that there are 40% fewer properties available for students to rent this year compared to last year. We had the ESRI report as well, showing significant housing shortages in the Greater Dublin area predicted. But there's also the stories as well. And last time I was here, I spoke to a number of students who were thinking that they'll probably have to commute from the likes of Cavan, Wexford and Louth because they can't find anywhere to stay. And one of the people I talked to was Debbie Butt, and she's from Cavan. She was under serious pressure to find somewhere to live. She just came back from Erasmus this summer and she's going into final year in DCU. But I caught up with her yesterday.
I've been continuing on with the house website. No luck. I haven't even managed to get a viewing. It's just that I look, I try to send an email, there's no reply on the emails, telephone calls, no reply. When I have rang, they've gotten back to me and said, actually, we've been like booked out already, someone's came and taken the place. So it's quite stressful. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not realistic that I'm going to find something. I'm more than likely going to have to commute at this stage.
And how many places do you think you've actually looked at?
At least 100. Like, I'm on daft.ie every night, rent.ie. There's loads of websites that I'm on. I literally, anytime I have a free moment, I'm on them looking. I just can't find anything. And then the price is too high, or they're only looking for males, no females, no couples, single. There's so many different requirements that they want and don't want that for a young...
And do you have any requirements?
I literally just want a roof over my head. That's all that I have. Like, I'm easy to go and easy to live with, but I just can't understand how there's no houses at all. So, like, normally I would suffer from anxiety, and this morning, like, I was just crying with just the stress of it. Like, for me, for a young working person who is also studying, it's an incredible amount of pressure to be on someone's shoulders just trying to look for a house.
Tough situation there that Debbie Buh from Cavan is in, Jackie. So nothing clearly has changed for her in the past fortnight.
Absolutely not. And, you know, she faces commuting like so many other people. And that could be around 3 to 4 hours a day, you know, up and down to college. And it'll be interesting to see the effects commuting will have on students and I suppose their experience in college as well. Now, I spoke to ex-media student Kenneth. He told me of his experiences. He's lived in the likes of Diggs. He stayed on friends' couches, lived on campus accommodation, so a vast array of there of types of accommodation that he's lived in. But what I found interesting was his views on commuting and does it affect student having that full experience in college?
If you're not within, you know, walking or even a short driving distance from college, you're missing out on the college experience. Like, I had friends in class who would have lived from Dublin, you know, maybe 20-30 minutes away in a bus, but they kind of treated it like school. They'd come in the morning, you know, they'd go home for dinner after class. They wouldn't hang around for any of the activities and stuff, and they probably didn't get the best out of their experience here. And in my opinion, they're less likely to get jobs now because they didn't fully integrate and they didn't fully reap the benefits. Or if you're doing a media course like I did, they weren't out there doing internships or getting involved in our media society. They were doing their assignments and going home again. You might as well be back in secondary school. You know, it's something, I think it's an awful shame when people are subjected to it, never mind when they do it by choice. But if someone can't, if there physically isn't anywhere for them to live and they're subjected to commuting from far distances, they're not going to get the full experience of college.
And that's a young man called Kenneth there. I should say we'll be talking in a couple of minutes to UCG's or NUI Galway's administrative officer at Student Services, Matt Doran. But Jackie Fox, just with this lack of accommodation for students we had there, At the same time, some people, if they've done well on the points from the CAO, particularly say places like DCU and Maynooth, it's open door.
Exactly, it's like getting rewarded an initiative, kind of study harder. Say for the likes, if you applied to go to college in DCU and received over 500 points, you are guaranteed a room on their on-campus accommodation. And there's a similar system in place in NUI Maynooth if a student achieves over 525 points. Now, I spoke to the National Parents Council this morning, and they said that this is just increasing pressure on students. It's not fair, this first come and first served basis. So I spoke to DCU Welfare Officer Eve Curtin about this.
Obviously, there's going to be a huge demand, and I know they take into account people who are living outside 45 kilometres of DCU as well. I'm hoping that we can cater for as many people as possible.
But as welfare officer, do you think is that fair, especially with the kind of the shortage of housing that's going on at the moment and the stress that students are under?
I think that's kind of come up a lot in the past couple of weeks, and when we realise what kind of a crisis we're in. And I think initially it was made as an incentive for people to study, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I do see the point of view where people are saying that they're at a disadvantage, and it means they're not going to get a home just because they didn't secure a certain amount of points. So maybe that has to be reviewed. But from my personal point of view, every day I get maybe 6 or 7 cases in as regards people looking for accommodation. We had an issue a couple of weeks ago that there was a girl on our accommodation page, and she was advertising what seemed to be too good to be true. And the only reason that we actually came across it was our president was looking for a house for himself, and he saw it, was like, wow, this is amazing, it's only this amount of months. And he rang her up, and there was no response. He emailed, no response. And then our marketing communications officer just did an image search, and she found that they were from another website, and the images were flipped, and it was a house on the other side of Dublin, and it's actually applied to attract mostly international students who feel like they have to make a deposit beforehand, and it's just
they wouldn't know,
and they feel like, oh, I have to, and we turned out to be a complete scam. So we're extra vigilant at the minute in that we're kind of thoroughly checking everything that's going up, and if somebody advertises without contacting me first, I'll ring the number that's there and try and see if they're genuine.
And that's some salutary advice there, I suppose, from Eve Curtin. She's the Student Union Welfare Officer in DCU, Jackie. So clearly, parents and students, they're still facing those obstacles only more intensively this year, it would seem.
Absolutely. But, different ideas, different revivals of systems like, digs online, they're becoming popular again, for homeowners, if they got a spare room in their house, to put that room up for rent Monday to Friday, and they could earn up to €10,000 within the academic year. And for students, it'll be the same price as campus accommodation. And, just to save, it's around €115 a week, but that's excluding
meals. You reported on that just a couple of weeks ago for the programme, Jackie. Is there much interest being shown in that by people living, say, close to DCU or UCD or the universities?
I think, there's been a bit of hysteria at the moment about, student accommodation and, people scrambling for it. And certainly, after, a lot of articles appearing in the paper, reports on radio, I was talking to the guys at Gigs and the likes of Generation Accommodation, who older people to rent out the rooms. They've had so much interest. They've had, open days every Saturday down in one of the UCD campuses, and so many people have showed up and shown interest. And, you kind of see people having new ideas and kind of maybe experiencing something new as well. But it's, also for the homeowner, they can experience something new. They could learn a language, they could learn computer skills. The student learns, but also the homeowner learns as well. And I was talking to a woman, and fair enough, you can get those skills, but as I said, you can earn up to €10,000 in a government scheme for having a person staying in your house.
Not to be sneezed at. Jackie, thank you very much indeed for that update. And as I say, Matt Doran is the Administrative Officer at Student Services in NUI Galway. He's in our studio there. Matt, good morning to you.
Morning, Sean.
I had the good fortune to grow up in a part of Galway just behind the university there, where every second house had a landlady. We had students in our house, I think, for probably nearly 40 years, but that whole thing seems to have died away now, by and large.
Well, we still have a lot of capacity and a lot of property owners in the city. I'm looking here at some figures. Since the 1st of August, we have advertised through our university system from the private sector 529 properties or 868 rooms, so that's quite considerable.
Are they in private houses now, or would they include apartments and that kind of accommodation?
Well, there would be some apartments, but there would be a lot of private houses as well.
And what about accommodation on campus? A lot of apartments have been built there over the recent couple of decades.
Well, we have on-campus university-owned accommodation. We have Coral Village. It accommodates 764 students, the bulk of which are first years. And then we have a number of other residences across the city as well, approved student residences. In all, they accommodate approximately, including Coral Village, 2,500 students.
Right, but in a university of what? Something in the order of 15,000 students?
16,000 people, yeah. Well,
so is there much pressure then, and is there much of shortage in your view?
I put it like this. There's a very heavy reliance in Galway, and indeed in all university towns, on the private sector to supply housing for students. A scramble for housing at this time of the year is nothing new. It is tighter this year, but I wouldn't describe it as a crisis because that can, if you like, encourage a form of hysteria. For example, I mean, Jackie mentioned lodgings. We have currently, and they're largely vacant, 150 rooms in lodgings.
Now, describe what you mean by lodgings.
I mean, your standard, when I went to college, I'm of an age in the 70s, bed, breakfast and evening meal for 5 days for €130.
Something to be said for that.
I mean, there's a lot to be said for it.
Within walking distance
within
of the university.
Relatively, I mean, Galway is a relatively small place. We're a city centre university. Most of these places were probably within walking distance. I mean, certainly within short cycling distance.
And why haven't they been all snapped up?
Well, as we all know, my children, I mean, there's a preference amongst the student age group for single room. It's quite different too. I think it's the preference is for a single room, in many cases single room en suite, and we simply don't have enough of that supply right now. Perhaps the market will respond to it at some stage.
Now, it's €150, which would seem reasonable for...
€130.
Bed, breakfast and an evening meal. And so you would struggle, I suppose, to find an economical way of living for the 5 days compared to that. But what about the self-contained accommodation? What's been happening to price there? What's that costing?
Well, the private sector, we talk about private sector housing, it is increased. I think I would agree with the DAF report. It is somewhat increased on last year. There is greater competition for city centre housing than there was last year. And we took an initiative based on our experience last year particularly and somewhat the year before to do a leaflet drop in 5,000 homes across the city asking people to accommodate students. And we've had some response to that. And we still have a supply of housing coming in. I think we have to bear in mind we're, 2 days into the, since the offers are out. There is a practice among students to book, for example, student residences in several universities, if you like, securing in advance, and some of those will be cancelled. For example, last year at Coral Village, I understand there were 200 cancellations, and those were filled, of course, from a waiting list.
And what's the situation this year, Matt? Have you many people on the waiting list?
Looking at figures here, I'm told, as of yesterday, there are 450 on a waiting list at Coral Village.
So if last year was anything to go by, half them might get looked after in the end.
No, I mean, we're...
And what do you charge them, by the way?
Coral Village is approximately 130 per week, inclusive of a contribution towards utilities. That's for a standard single room. Now, a room with ensuite, that's what we describe as a room ensuite, is somewhat dearer than that.
Okay, well, Matt, thank you very much indeed for that update from the situation in Galway. Any last comments from you, Jackie, about the situation elsewhere, Cork or Carlow or the other places, Limerick?
Well, I kind of think on an overall kind of observation, especially, you know, being a student myself for 4 years recently, a lot of Irish students, they go to college on the Monday to Friday, but I know myself, I went home every single weekend, even though I had full time accommodation in Dublin. So maybe it is something to consider that people actually, you know, look look into digs, look into that Monday to Friday accommodation, have their meals, because it seems, you know, a bit like our culture at the moment that we do go home. A lot of people might have part-time jobs as well at the weekend, so maybe it's something to consider.
My outstanding memory of, I suppose, the students who passed through our house, and we often regretted the fact that we didn't have a visitor's book, because there must have been literally hundreds over the 40 or so years, was the old coin box in the hall and the press button A and the press button B and the sometimes plaintive phone calls. I would have learned a lot about life and love from overhearing some of the exchanges on that. Look, we leave it there. Jackie Fox, thank you for that report, and also our thanks to Matt Doran of the Student Services Office in NUI Galway.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.